Good morning. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a good-looking crowd. This is awesome. Praise God for it. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord this morning. Glad you come be with us here. In ways of announcement, we've got, remember, this Wednesday night now, this Wednesday night, there will be no service here at the church, okay? Pastor Walker's going to be preaching down Abundant Life down at Logan. The choir's going to be leading worship. So we're all going to go down there at Abundant Life. And that, to give you an idea where that's at, when you come off the new four lane on the new road to Logan, okay, it's right there on your right beside that, Candlewood Suites or Pride Office right there, that metal building, that's it, Pastor Gary Wilson and congregation, okay? So we want you to try to make plans to come down there and let's have a good time in the Lord this Wednesday night, okay? So, how many people is ready to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask ushers to come up. I'm not going to forget that. Don't want to forget that. I want you to stand to your feet. Let them get ready, and I'm going to ask somebody to pray over it. You guys ready? You guys ready? Jeffrey, you care to say the blessing over the... Amen. As they're taking up the offering, like I said, we want to thank you for coming to be with us here today. We got Pastor Walker preaching. The worship's going to be led by the youth. This is Youth Sunday here at the church. Now, how many of you folks was able to be here at Sunday school? Good? Okay, now listen. We do deal with spiritual warfare, amen? The devil is aware of what's going on in your life, and he's going to do everything he can to slow you down, to trip you up. Ready for this? As Pastor Walker preached last Sunday, this is not the end of the week. This is the beginning of the week, okay? And if you want to get your week started out right, get a reset in your spirit, reset in your mind, today's it. If you want to worship the Lord and feel his presence, there ain't nobody can stop you but you, amen? So as they come and get ready, we're going to turn the service over to them, and we want you to have your time in the Lord and let the Lord have his way.
I see broken Yeah. everywhere you want. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everywhere. You know, the Bible says that Jacob got tired one time and laid his head on a rock. That night he saw a ladder and the angels ascending and descending from heaven. And he woke up and he said, the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. And as we experience in the presence of the Lord, I thought, man, how blessed we are to know that when we gather together, the Lord is in this place and we know it. Are y'all with me? We don't have to guess, but we know it. And it's such a wonderful experience to get in the presence of the Lord that way. And Kelly asked me last night, or yesterday evening, I think, well, she said, you preaching tomorrow? And I said, I'm not sure. And she thought I was joking. I was sort of half joking because I had one of those feelings, you know, that maybe something was going to break loose today. And not going to full out exhort this morning, but I do want to say that I appreciate the Lord and how He'll do things if we recognize what He's doing, that we can get on with what He's doing, and we don't have to pray, Lord, bless what we're doing. We can sort of recognize what He's doing, right? You've heard me use the analogy before. It's like a surfer. A surfer is at the mercy of the ocean and the tide coming in, and they can't produce that wave at all. All they can do is sit and wait, but when they recognize, a good surfer will recognize the wave that he needs to be on, and he'll know when to catch that wave, ride that wave, and then probably just as important, know when to dismount off that wave and get off the wave before it crashes. And the Lord's Spirit is much like that. We can't do anything necessarily to invoke God to move. We can praise Him and get in His presence, and then His presence will lead us and direct us and guide us. But there's special times and occasions when the Lord just sends waves through, and it's, you got to be that good surfer where you recognize that move and go, you know what? We're going to get on that, and we're going to ride that and see what God would have for us. And I believe with all my heart that God is sort of sending us a wave here. And we got to recognize that, be able to get up on top of that wave and ride this thing, and I recognize that God is still in the moving business. And it's because individuals, and I'll probably talk about this some down at Gary's, I believe, I think I know where the Lord wants to send us down there, but someone once said, sounds sort of cliche or almost corny, but it says the strength of the pack is in the wolf, but then the strength of the wolf is also in the pack. In other words, there's safety in numbers, there's strength in numbers, but those numbers are only as good as the individual wolves in that pack. And I see that and experience that in our church, to where we see people ministering in ways that maybe aren't always welcome sometimes, maybe in other places or venues or what have you, but I see people obeying the Lord, and in that, God recognizes that, and He sends that wave that I'm talking about. And I appreciate the fact that we don't operate in the Old Testament idea, and really it's an ancient idea in all religions, where this one elite group does all the ministering and all the doing. Even in some churches, I believe, there's still that mindset that there's an elite group that does everything and everybody else just sits and watches. But I'm glad we're in a congregation where everybody is encouraged to be involved and obey the Lord. And out of that, Terry, I believe we see manifestations such as we did this morning. Those children leading us in worship up there, not all of them are children, forgive me. But it's the youth ministry that led us in worship. Many would look at that and have opinions about it, but I would tell you that the Old Testament says many times they danced before the Lord in praise and in worship. The Bible says David danced before the Lord with all of his might, stripped down to his linen ephod, and he danced before the Lord with everything that he had. And I believe that's what we experience when we experience tongues, interpretation, manifestations of the Holy Ghost, it's because that's what we see in the Scripture, and all we do is worship, gather, and do accordingly to what the Scripture says. And isn't it so good to experience God on that level? If you've been blessed today, give the Lord a hand clap of praise and appreciation. And I know, I understand everybody doesn't necessarily, quote unquote, get involved with what's going on a lot of times around the altar or when you see the Spirit moving. But I'll tell you from personal experience, there's a blessing in seeing that take place and enjoying that and sort of rejoicing with your brother like we talked about last week. And when we see that and we can rejoice with others, you can leave, whether you've not been directly involved in that, you can leave and know that God is great and greatly to be praised and certainly worthy of all the honor that we could give him. And I'm not going to be long this morning. That's the reason I sort of half and half last night thinking about whether I was going to get to preach today or not. But I do feel as though the Lord wants me to sort of put a button on this thing and sort of wind this thing up to lead us in tomorrow evening. So I want you to recognize that while God does the moving, he does the creating of the wave, there's some things that takes place there in that scenario that I mentioned that's a must. Number one, as I said, that surfer's got to be in place with his surfboard. He's got to be watching and waiting for that wave to come by. That's an equivalency of someone saying, hey, as a church, we've got an idea, we've got a goal, we've got a vision, we've got a purpose, and now we're going to hand this thing to God and see what God wants to do with it. We're not saying, God bless what we're doing. We're saying, God, this is what we're capable of. This is the vision that we feel like you've given us. Now you take it and you bless it, if you will, because we feel like it's just fulfilling your great commission. And so I feel like the vision meeting tomorrow is part of that process. I've always felt like you have to give God something for God to work with. I've got several cases here that I could talk about. One of them was when we started the WOW team in the beginning and to welcome guests and things of that nature. Someone made the statement, we don't even have guests usually. And I said, that's a great point, but what if God's waiting on us to get ready to receive them? What if we're sitting around going, well, we'd have a welcome committee if we had anybody to welcome. God might be saying, well, if you were ready and prepared, I would send you somebody. And we done that. We launched that. And man, thank God, just sent us guest after guest after guest. And so if you prepare and sort of say, God, here it is. Another example is the parking lot out here. I remember when we paved around here and somebody come to me and said, when are you going to quit paving? That was the question. When are you going to quit paving? I said, when we pave and then they don't fill all the spots up that we have, we'll quit paving. But until they fill the spots up, how do you know that God's done? Are y'all with me? I'm not asking you to outdo God, but I am telling you this. You got to put it in God's hands and say, hey, we've done all that we could do. We prepared. Here it is. And so we're giving it to you to accomplish whatever it is that your will is for that situation. So I feel like the vision meeting tomorrow evening, when we sort of lay out what the goal, the vision of the church, and we put it in the hands of the Lord, is sort of that. And then we sort of catch that wave and we ride it. Because our vision, speaking about gathering, growing, going, and we sort of hammered gathering last week and sort of, I don't know what you'd say there. Don't, you know, and when I say this, nobody message me and say, don't apologize or whatever. I'm not apologizing. But you say some things and you think, man, I don't know. Should I said that or not? And this and that. Because you want it to come across in the right way. But I sort of made the statement, when some of the family's missing, it's just a different feel. We'll look around this morning and tell me most of the family's here. And what'd you feel? Y'all with me? So it seems as all the families gathered together, and there's a sense of that, and we talked about that yesterday. And when you gather, you're going to grow. Those families up around the altar, those young kids coming up getting prayed for, people getting called into ministry, all these things are happening because we gather. If we don't gather, none of the rest of it matters because it ain't going to take place. But when we gather and God allows us to grow, and we sort of, the Bible says we're fit together. The Bible makes it plain there in Colossians chapter 1 that part of the goal is to present everybody as a mature believer before Christ when he comes. And so that when we come together, it's about fellowship, it's about feeling the Spirit of the Lord. But at the end of the day, the end goal of is this, that growth should produce a mature individual waiting for the coming of the Lord and not able to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, not being able to be fooled so easily, but be mature in the Lord as we wait for his coming. And so when you gather together, I don't know why it hit me this way, but I thought, man, when we come together and we begin to grow, I feel as though we're alive. But if we're not growing, feels like we're dying. Started looking at that a little bit, and actually, the human body dies as it grows. Now, if you realize that or not, everybody might say, well, yeah, everybody knows you're dying, but you're still growing as well. So every day you grow a little bit, but you ready for this encouragement? You die a little bit. So as you're growing, you're dying. And the Lord spoke to me and said, exactly, as you grow, you die. You die to self daily. Paul said, I die daily. I bring things, I deny myself. I follow after the Lord with everything I have. I deny myself and I die daily because I'm looking after, I'm going after that mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. So as we gather together and grow, a true evidence of that is not only the fruit that we bear, but how much we as individuals die out to ourselves and allow God to have complete control of our lives. And I think that's what we experience here when we come together. But I'm so thankful that God sort of allows us and affords us the opportunity. And there are bodies of believers that experience this. I don't think we have a monopoly on it, one iota, to use an old Bruno slang term there. I don't think we got a monopoly on this thing, one iota, but I will tell you this. For whatever the reason, I don't understand it a lot of times other than just pure obedience. I'm so thankful that we're part of a body of believers that when we come together, God just has his way and manifests his presence here and sort of puts his stamp of approval on things and allows us to experience his holiness. And out of that, we begin to grow. And then the natural progression is we get the desire to want to go, to want to reach out, to want to disciple, to want to be a part of what God's doing, because he gave us the command in Matthew chapter 28 to go and to make disciples. Then there's two other places in Scripture, and I'm going to close with this, and the push is going to be around the altar to pray that we recognize what God's doing, get on that wave and ride it for everything that it's worth, starting tomorrow evening. But I wonder if you would stand with me, and Dave, if you don't care to sort of, and I'm not going to preach, don't get nervous. Don't look at the watch and go, man, it's 12 and we're just now standing. You're standing in the way of closing here. I'm going to get you on your feet so you can get closer to the altar in just a minute or two, okay? But Dave, if you can skip down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and then throw up Matthew chapter 5, 13, 16 in just a second. But the Bible says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So the Bible tells us, first off, that we are ambassadors for God. I want you to recognize and realize that when you name the name of Christ, when you say, I am a believer, I am a Christian, you become an ambassador for the Lord. There's so many things that you can't dodge as a believer, and this is one of them. When you get saved, you not only get a Savior, you get a Master. When you get saved, you become a steward of everything God's given you. When you get saved, you become a disciple and should be a disciple maker. When you get saved, you become an ambassador or representative here on earth for God. And here's the kicker. Whether you know it, whether you like it, whether you're good at it, whether you're not good at it, you're an ambassador. You got to recognize that you represent God here on earth. And I also recognize that it, as best as any of us can do, we're not perfect. And we're going to have flaws, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to do stupid stuff, going to get caught up in something and in the heat of the moment, not be clear-minded and say something we shouldn't say or do something we shouldn't do. But even in that, God's glory, God's grace can be shown if handled correctly. And so you're an ambassador for Christ, and you're also something that Jesus called you in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. He said, you're the salt of the earth. And now this is the scary part. Y'all remember Lot's wife? Remember when she was leaving the city? They said, don't turn around and look. She turned around and looked, and what happened to her? A pillar of salt. A monument of salt. Think about that illustration. What a perfect way to set up what Jesus was going to say in the New Testament, that if you lay your hand to the plow and you turn around and you look, you're going to become a monument. You're going to become a still figure, if you will, somebody that doesn't move, just somebody that's remembered for what they used to be, a pillar of salt. You're just going to be a pillar of salt that does no good because you've lost your flavor. But if it's lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So he says, you're the salt of the earth. But if you've lost your saltiness, if we can say, and I don't mean salty as the kids use it nowadays. We was kidding the other night. Me and Kelly was talking about our vices when it comes to snacks. She's a potato chip person, and I'm a sweet person. So I let it be known that she's salty and I'm sweet. But if you've lost your savor, if you've lost that saltiness, if you've lost that influence in the world, what good is it? We talked about that Wednesday night, being a witness. Protect that witness. Whatever you do, you're not going to be perfect, but go back and make things right and protect that witness, protect that saltiness, if you will. Then he says, you're light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I wonder if you'd gather with me around the altar this morning as we sort of close and bring this thing to a head and pray as a group of believers here this morning. I wanted to touch on these things because I want you to realize that we're called to be ambassadors, salt of the earth, light of the world. You got a big mantle laying on your shoulders, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. There's a illustration of this, if you will, that comes back to me when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. First letter he wrote to the Corinthian church, man, if you read it, it's like, whew, what a messed up church. He's getting drunk on the Lord's Supper. I think maybe a stepson was sleeping with a stepmother. so many things going on. And yet Paul, in the very beginning, addresses them as saints of God. It's always blew my mind. Matter of fact, I can sort of remember the first time I read that, went through and I seen that. It dawned on me. I remember Jeremiah that I read in the beginning. He called them saints. And then I thought, did I really read that in this letter or this? Did I imagine I go back? No, he called them saints. It'd be easy to go, boy, if they were saints, I'm all right. And what he talks about here is things that are going on and there's disputes. And he's saying, hey, you're going to judge the world. You're going to judge the angels. You should be able to handle these things as the body of Christ. They shouldn't leave the outside of the walls. As a matter of fact, he talked about those things. Then he said, you got other stuff going on. And I'll address that when I come. His focus was on the things that people outside that church knew, because he knew what it was doing with that church's influence in the community. They had even worse things going on inside, division and things of that nature. But he said, you got to deal with what people see first. Essentially, was the idea because of the witness out in the world. He said, the rest will straighten out. So I'm telling you this, that when we go out and we represent Christ as ambassadors, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Those are the things that we've got to guard and understand that that's our representation to the world. And all of these other things, certainly we can work out within the body of Christ in a mature fashion. Should something come, and some of you are going, I wonder what's going on. Nothing's going on. Nothing at all. We're flowing good. Got a vision from the Lord, and we're going to continue to flow. I believe the best time to fix a leak that's roof that's leaking is when it's not raining. The idea is that we're all together. We're all gathered here as one body, as an ambassador for the Lord, as salt of the earth, and as light of the world. That's your invitation to be with us tomorrow evening. If you can't make it, I understand. We can fill you in or whatever. If you can't make it, shoot us a message. But we want you to get on with what God is doing, because I believe there's great blessing in that. And I sort of hesitate to say this because I don't want it to make it sound like I'm enticing you for some other reason than that's what we're commanded to do. So let me say this. How many of you know that the Lord tells us to do things, gives us commands? We do them because they're a command, and we should expect really to not receive anything in return. Right? You do it because God said to do it. And so when God gives a vision and a purpose, I believe we get on board and we do it because God's saying there's great blessing in this, and you're going to touch community. You're going to touch outside your church and bring people to Christ. But in that, there's always a blessing tied to it, to that individual and that family. Can't tell you how many times when God starts blessing here, if people get on board with it, it starts breaking out in their own home. And things start to change in their own lives, and promotions and this and that happen and everything else. People get saved. I'll tell you this, I believe in my soul there's people here today that are saved, that got saved when we first come here, simply because people bought into the vision of the church. God saved their family through that. That's the kind of God we serve. And so we're all out there with our surfboard. And we all, if we care any at all, sit around and go, well, when's God going to move? Why don't God do miracles now? Why is church like this? Why is it like that? Fact of the matter is, we've been out there with our surfboard waiting on God to move. And I would tell you this, the wave is beginning to roll. Your surfboard is your faith. And you're welcome to come, jump on board, and ride that wave and experience how God how good God really is and how He still wants to move in the life of the church. A lot of people think it's all downhill from now. Church is downhill, and I mean as a whole, this is like great falling away and all that. But how many of you know God's just there waiting on somebody to position themselves to receive from the Lord? So I would ask you this morning if we would just to raise our hands and sort of projecting toward tomorrow evening when we sort of come to you with plans and ideas and the opportunities that we want to give you to be able to invite people to our gathering and be involved in things and grow yourself. If you're willing, I want you to raise up those hands and let's go to the Lord in prayer in a way of saying, God, we're here with our surfboard and we're waiting on the wave. We believe by faith, God, that you're going to move, and we want to catch that wave and ride it with you. If you believe that this morning, would you raise your hands and go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, we're so grateful, Lord, God, for your Spirit this morning. So thankful, God, that even in the midst of all our imperfections...